Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
I want you to notice that in Psalm 23, and I had not ever seen this, that in Psalm 23, every verse takes us to a different place. It's amazing the way it's laid out that we think it all connects because it's talking about the shepherd and his sheep, but every verse talks about a different area. It's specific to that verse. If you'll notice in verse 1, the Bible here in Psalm 23 speaks about our position. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In verse 2, it talks about our pastures. It says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Verse 3, it takes us to our paths. He says that he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, it talks about our problems. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Verse 5, it talks about our provisions. He says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." In verse 6, it talks about our promises that he has made to us. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's a promise to our life here on earth. But notice this, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's a promise for eternity. And as I looked at this, I realized that in verse 1, our position is one of security and satisfaction. He's my shepherd, I'm secure. I shall not want, I'm satisfied. In verse 2, our pastures are places of rest and refreshment. He puts us in green pastures and beside still waters for us to rest and to be refreshed. Verse 3, our paths, they lead us to restoration and righteousness. He said, "He restores my soul." And then he leads me in paths of righteousness. Do you know, dear friend, that you and I, before we can live that righteous way we're supposed to live, we have to be restored. Right. Have you ever tried to live a righteous life when your heart's not right? Isn't that what we try to do? Look at me, folks. We sit in church and we know our heart's not right, but we're trying to do all the right things on the outside and we're trying to appear to be a righteous person. And dear friends, there must come restoration first and then the paths of righteousness. You'll notice in verse 4, our problems bring us confidence and comfort. You'll notice in verse 4, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." That's confidence. "For thou art with me." Then he says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." They're all in the valley here in this verse. So there's confidence and comfort. And in verse 5, you find that our provisions are ones of affection and anointing and abundance. He says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Affection prepares me a table. Anointing anoints my head with oil. There's abundance. My cup runneth over. In verse 6, we find that our promises are for our present and our future. That we are literally promised grace and mercy for our lives. And we're promised a home with a Savior for an eternity. My goodness, but let me tell you, as I went through this on the back porch, I was just going through this, it didn't have anything. I just noticed all this, and all of a sudden it hit me for the first time in my life. Psalm 23 does not only talk about the shepherd and his sheep. Verses 1 through 4 are the only verses about him being our shepherd. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. In verse 5, he's preparing a table. Sheep don't eat at a table. In verse 5, he's anointing our head, and sheep aren't anointed with oil. Now, there were times when a shepherd would put different kind of ointments on his sheep that would literally keep snakes away by the smell. But then he says, "My cup runneth over." So here's the whole picture in verse 5. We're at a table, and here's my cup, and I'm sitting at this table. That's not for sheep. And then in verse 6, notice this. "Grace and mercy follow me all the days of my life." That wasn't promised to sheep. "I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Sheep aren't going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know why? Because animals aren't going. No, I'm not even going to go there. I'm picking. So I came to the realization of something that was new to me. In Psalm 23, verses 1 through 4 are about the shepherd and his sheep, but verses 4 and 5 are about the host and his guests. You see, right now on earth, he's our shepherd, we're the sheep, but one day, he's going to be the host, and we're going to be his guests. You say, why are we going to be his guest, and why are we there at his table? Because we're family. So let me tell you, as I dug into verse 5, you have to understand it, that this Psalm 23, it literally deals with the feeding from the shepherd and the feast from the host. Notice, if you would, verse 5. And I just want to look at these three parts, and I'll let you go this morning. And I just said, God, I want to understand, and I want to be able to somehow process that my cup runs over, and I don't even know what that all means, God. Number one, thou preparest a table before me. He goes right from being a shepherd and his sheep to now he's preparing a table for a person. And as I was trying to understand all this, man, I got everything I could get my hands on. I probably went to 8-9 different commentaries just trying to get a different perspective of, you know, what does this person think, that thou preparest a table before me? What does all this mean? And you got to understand, as you look at the scenario in verse 5, that there is a host and there is a guest. The host prepared the table, and the guest is sitting at the table, because it said that thou preparest a table before me. And that word before means for, or for me. And we find here that the host is Jehovah, because in verse 1, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. And Jehovah means I was, I am, and I always will be. It was the most affectionate Hebrew term for God. So Jehovah's the host, and who's the guest? God's child. Because when you're his sheep, it means you're his child. So you say, preacher, what does all this mean? Well, the enemies. Notice the phrase. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Who are mine enemies? You know who the enemies are. It's the world, it's Satan, and the flesh. These are always the three arch enemies of Christ. They were the three arch enemies of the church, and they will always be the arch enemies. It's the world, it's Satan, and it's our own flesh. They're our enemies. You say, people aren't our enemies. Nuh-uh. I'm talking about the culture of the world. It's always been enmity with God. Our flesh is always fighting against the spirit that lives in our life now. Satan has always been against us. He's always been a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the Bible says that our host, Jehovah, prepares this table, literally, in the presence of the world and Satan, and literally our own flesh. So, preacher, what in the world does this mean? What does this table stand for? And that's what I kept asking. What is this table? Why is this significant? I don't think I've ever even looked at it and tried to figure it out. I always said that what God is here is God's just giving you sustenance in front of, you know, when you fight, have problems and battles. Even when your enemies are there, God gives you the nourishment that you need from the table. But it doesn't make sense when you look at this whole verse. It's all at the table. What does this mean? And then all of a sudden, I realized as I was looking through and I began to connect Scripture with Scripture and different things. Colossians chapter 3 verse 4 says this, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Christ is our life. What does it mean to have life? It means to live. What is the picture of a table? How would we exist without food? How would we exist without nourishment? Dear friends, look at me. Christ is our life. And this is the table from Psalm 23. Now listen to me. The table that has been prepared for us is Jesus Christ himself. He has literally been prepared since the beginning of time. He was always going to be the propitiation for our sins. He always had to be the propitiation for our sins. He was the only hope that we had. And literally in front of his very enemies, he was scourged, he was beaten, he was tortured, he was spit upon. And literally while you and I here are serving Christ, that table is being prepared for us right now. Christ is the table. He's where we sit. He's where we feast. If you're not in Christ, then you have no hope. If you're not in Christ, you have no life. Christ is the table. And listen, if you think about this, I want you to get this. The whole history of salvation, the cross, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, it has all been prepared in the face of his enemies. And it is still being prepared in the face of our enemies. Listen, you can watch the news and people can make fun of God and make fun of God's word and make fun of Christians all they want to. But what they don't realize, it is being prepared right in their midst. God is putting his church together. Christ is the church. It has been prepared for us. And if you think about this, look at this phrase. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. We see here that even when God is your shepherd, you still have enemies. Everybody thinks, oh, you just get saved and you have the Lord and you'll have nothing but peace in your life. Dear friend, that's a lie. Jesus didn't have peace while he was here on earth. He came to bring peace, but he didn't have peace. And dear friend, when you and I have Jesus as our shepherd, we're still going to have enemies. But let me tell you what is so wonderful about this verse. It says that this table is being prepared even in the presence of our enemies. That means this, that our enemies are powerless against us. They can't do anything about that table being prepared. No, I'm going somewhere with this. They have to look on with annoyance at the prosperity that you and I enjoy as children of God, and they can't do anything about it. Old Satan is right there watching this table be prepared, and he wants to stop it. He wants to end it, but he can't. It's being prepared right in the presence of our enemies. Oh, listen to me. It's a table that these enemies do not have a seat at. And that's what drives them crazy. You can make fun of our table, and you can criticize our table, and you can mock our table. They did when he was here on earth. They're doing it now, but I'm here to tell you, bottom line is, we have a seat at that table if you're saved, and you don't if you're not. I want to read this verse to you. Maybe this will all make sense. Luke chapter 22, verse 28. Listen to what Jesus said. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Jesus said, you're the ones that have believed and stayed faithful. Listen to this. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom. Ding, ding, ding. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Christ is the table that has been prepared for us. Number two, thou anointest my head with oil. Now this does not make a lot of sense. I don't know about you, when I sit at a table and I'm getting ready to eat, I don't want you pouring oil on my head. Now, if it's Krispy Kreme donut icing, I would be okay with that. But oil? What in the world does this mean? I didn't understand all of it. And then you have to look up words and different things. And that word anointest, thou anointest my head with oil. It is the Hebrew word mashak. And this word literally is something different. Now listen to me. It is a Hebrew word for anointing as in a ceremony or consecration. And I thought, all right, this word is going to be the word mashach. What anoint, the word anoint in the Bible is the word mashach. But unbelievably, this word in Psalm 23 is not the word mashach. And it is the word like when I anoint you king or I anoint you this. It's ceremonial. It's giving a person an honor or something like that. That is not this word. The word here in Psalm 23, the Hebrew word, is the word dashen. And this word literally means to perfume or to fatten or to clothe. And you got to understand, I didn't fully understand it, so this isn't a ceremonial, I'm going to anoint you with oil. This is literally to perfume. And then as I read, I realized, and as different commentaries would say, that in Jesus' day, especially Eastern countries, they had a tradition that when you sat down at their table, that they would literally dampen your clothing with perfume oils. And it would be a sign that you are welcome there. It would be a sign that my host is wealthy and has resources. And it would allow you to smell good and everybody else to smell good, to enjoy the experience of eating around the table. Not many people were wealthy enough to be able to do that. But last time I checked, our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I said, all right, where does Scripture teach me this? So I'm going to read these verses to you. You can write these down if you want to look them up. Amos chapter 6, verse 4. Listen. That lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and calves out of the midst of the stall. Talking about dinner here. That chant to the sound of the viol. This is music during dinner. And invent to themselves instruments of music like David. That drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments. But they are not grieved for the affliction, which means this: while they ate, they drank wine out of bowls, they were listening to music, and they anointed their clothing with perfume oils. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7 says this: go thy way, eat thy bread. Here we are eating again. Eat thy bread with joy and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white. That means clean while you're eating. And let thy head lack no ointment. Oftentimes they would put ointment around the head and on the garments as they came to a great feast. You say, preacher, what does that mean? It was a sign of affection. It was a sign of anointing. It was a sign of abundance. It was a sign, I'm glad you're here. It was a sign, you're welcome here. It was a sign, we want you to enjoy your time here. And it was a sign that we have all the resources, unlimited resources, that we will even put expensive perfume literally on your head so that you can enjoy this experience more. I don't know about you, that excites me a little bit already. Do you know that even Jesus commended a woman that gave almost all she had just to buy ointment to rub on the feet of our Savior so He would smell good? Listen to me, dear friend. This text is imagery. The table that has been prepared before us is Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand, in Eastern lands, these guests were anointed so that their robes and their heads would be a delightful fragrance. And we find here that the host did this, and not sparingly, but he did it abundantly. And oil in God's Word is always a picture of the Holy Ghost. We think of the oil in the candlestick of the temple. We think of Zechariah and his vision. That oil was in the candle. Listen to me, dear friends. I want you to get this. The table is Jesus Christ. Anointing our head with oil is the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going somewhere with all this. Let me read you a verse if I can. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to them that are bound, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. Do you know that oil is the source of light? lamps in the day of Christ, they ran from oil. That was the only way that those lamps could bring light, is if they were full of oil. Look at me, dear friend, I'm here to tell you that our literally a table's been prepared for us, which is Jesus Christ himself. And David here says that you have literally will give the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, this is more important than you even realize. Now, you might not appreciate this, but for those of you that do, put on your seatbelts. John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says this, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Jesus came, in him was life, and his life would be the light of men. How is his life going to be the light of men? Well, he now lives inside of men that are saved. How does he live inside of men that are saved? Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Now you say, "Preacher, what does all this mean?" That means that the Holy Spirit is the conduit of the light and life that comes through God. Now listen, a life full of the Holy Spirit is a fragrant life. Others can smell it on you. Do you know where I'm going with this? David said, "You anointed my head with oil, and here I am sitting at the life of Christ, and I need to smell good, and I need to be a representative of the host that I represent. And you have literally anointed my head with Holy Spirit oil." Folks, look at me. When you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, others can smell it on you. What a difference. Listen to me. I'm going somewhere with all this. Psalm 45, verse 7 and 8. And you need to put that passage down. You need to go and see this for yourself. If you're really good at turning, turn there now. Psalm 45, 7. "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments shall smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereof they have made thee glad." Did you hear that? God will anoint you, listen to this, with the oil of gladness. And he said your garments will literally smell different. Hence, here's the viewpoint. The host and his guest here at the table of the Lord, he has been abundantly blessed with the oil of gladness, which means he has been anointed with the Holy Ghost. And that makes all the difference in the world, folks. Listen to me. Yes, the child of God is hurt by his enemies. Yes, a child of God often cries out in pain. Yes, a child of God is often bruised by the devil and hurt by the world. And the fight is always raging. Look at me. But in the midst of this fight, God has prepared a table in the death, life, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he anoints us with the Holy Ghost. Look at me. And that makes all the difference. Why? Are you dishonored by people? Yes, but you're honored with the Lord. Amen. Look at me. Are you put to shame by evil reports of people sometimes? Yeah, but you have a good report from God, because you're under the blood of Christ. Look at me. Are we called deceivers by people? Yes, and yet we're true through God. Are we dying? Yes, but we're living also because we're saved. Are you chastened? Yes, but we're not cast out because God has forgiven us of our sins. Are you sorrowful? Sometimes yes, but always rejoicing, the Bible says. Are you poor? Yeah, maybe here on earth, but we're rich in heaven. All because the Holy Ghost has sealed us unto the day of redemption. Do you not have anything? No, but in heaven I have everything. We are at the same time the most sorrowful creatures that have ever lived, and we're also the most happy of all because of the Holy Ghost. Look at me. While Paul was in bond and stocks in the prison, and literally blood was seeping through his raggedy clothes, he prayed and sang, literally, look at me, the Psalms of David. Why? That's the Holy Ghost. That's the difference that the Holy Spirit makes. That's how we can have victory when it seems we're in the midst of defeat. That's how we can be happy although we just got bad news. Because we've been anointed on our heads with the oil of the Holy Spirit of God. As everywhere in Scripture, you see Christ, you see the Holy Spirit, which brings me to my main point. My cup runneth over. Here's the picture. Host has prepared a table, a picture of the life of Jesus Christ. Host has anointed us with oil, the fragrance, getting ready, prepared for that dinner. And by the way, what does the Holy Spirit do in your life? It is constantly convicting you. It is constantly leading you. He is constantly challenging you. Why? Because He is trying to make your life fragrant, more like Christ, more like Christ, preparing us for the table in heaven. But notice this third thing, my cup runneth over. Here's the picture. Sitting down at the table, we've been anointed for this big meal, and now our cup is running over. What does this mean? Well, the same place where I found this traditions in Eastern countries, they would put fragrance on the head and on the garments to make a person smell good. And then as they would sit down, the host would walk around and he would pour drink into their cups. And often the times they would hold up their cups when he would pour the drink. And I didn't know all this. And as he would pour into the drink, always a sign that they were extra welcome and that I have plenty for the night. We will not run out of drink or food. He would pour that cup till that cup would fill up, and then he would just keep pouring it. And all of a sudden that water would pour over that cup right down onto the flooring of that banqueting place. And that was a sign, you're welcome here, and I've got plenty to last for the entire meal. David said, let me tell you something. That table was being prepared for me. Christ hadn't even come yet, but David knew the table was coming. And David knew that that Holy Spirit anointing would be coming one day. And here we are sitting at the table, and now we hold up our cups. Now we put our faith and trust in Christ. We've been given the Holy Spirit of God, and now what is the cup a sign of, preacher? It's a sign of salvation. You say, salvation? Oh, dear friend, listen to me, and I cannot wait for this. You just hold on, let me enjoy this morning, and then you can go on back on to something else. Think about this, the guest that shows up at this table, he's empty, he's hungry, he's forsaken. But in verse 5, we're told that the host is going to take very good care of him. He sits down at this table and he holds up his cup, and all of a sudden as that cup is filled and then begins to pour over to the sides, we realize and he is told that the host has plenty to last for the entire meal. In fact, that means he doesn't have just enough for me and my cup. He has enough to fill the cup of everybody who is sitting at this table. It's like the sun whose light shines past our planet and onto other planets. The river of God is full of water. The oceans of God will never run dry. God is the overflowing fountain of all that is good. Preacher, what are you saying? This is a picture of the inexhaustible riches of the life, love, loving kindness that comes through salvation in Jesus Christ. Now you just hold on a second. There's going to be a table set for me in the day of Christ. And my life has been transformed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit in my life. But now the cup of salvation has been given to me, and it's been overflowing ever since the day I got saved. And let me tell you why. Christ tasted, the Bible says, of that bitter cup so that you and I can enjoy an overflowing cup. My cup runs over because salvation runs over. So I don't understand that. That means this. Salvation is not enough just to save me. It saved me, the Bible says, to the uttermost. That means my salvation is not enough just to save me. It's enough to save you. That means my salvation is not enough just to save me, but it's enough to save anybody that comes to Christ. My salvation runs over enough. It's not just enough to save me and to save you and to leave me, but to save me and lift me. Listen to me, dear friend, I want you to get this. The Bible declares that our cup overflows. You say, where does the Bible say that? Oh, I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays, and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.